Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a powerful message and song. We just rejoice over that. Rejoice over the fact that you can just sense the presence of God in this place. And what a blessing that is. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 8 down to verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll be studying and looking at the life of the great woman of Shunem. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you can follow right along with me. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that so oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you and thank you first and foremost for loving us. We thank you for this and other opportunity that you've made available to all that are here to be in church, to be able to experience your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already experienced. And Lord, we're looking forward to what you have for us through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, God, that you would work in our midst, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. The great woman of Shunem. Now, as you look at the word great here that has been preserved for us in the book of 2 Kings, most would look at this and most would believe that it would indicate that she and her husband would have a great estate. They would have some monetary wealth. But as we study what God reveals about this woman, then we can know that her greatness went far beyond her estate. This woman would be used by God to provide for one of his servants, the great prophet Elisha, to enable him to do the Lord's work. Now, that's what we have right here. Much of what we have here is much of what Faith Promise Missions is all about. Amen. Getting the Lord's work done. Amen. Doing whatever we can do to be a part of getting that work done and reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. But as we look at this example that God has recorded for us in the scriptures, the story here, we can learn so much from it, but especially from this great woman of Shunem. And the first thing that stands out about this woman's person, her character, her drive, was that she was a giver. Now, I believe that as we study here, that she was a believer in God. Yeah. And if you truly know the God of all creation, then you can't help but look to follow Him in becoming a giver, because God, the person of God, is such a giving God. He so loved humanity that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Everything that we know about God is seen as a God who loves humanity, a God who is given to us all things, has a purpose for all things. So I believe that she, no doubt, by her own testimony, by what we find here, that this was a believer, someone who believed in a creator God. And no doubt she had heard that there was a prophet that had been passing by. Now, then, as it is today, I'm sure that she questioned, what kind of prophet is this? And not knowing for sure just what kind of a so-called man of God he might have been. But she was very observant. And as she was observing his continual passing by, she was looking for an opportunity to do what she wanted to do, and that was to give, to be a blessing. And so as she seen this prophet walking by, she felt comfortable about giving him, offering him food. Praise the Lord for that. Knowing the times that we find this story given to us, of course, they did not have a McDonald's on the corner. And there was one of the things that would be a need for anybody traveling. The distance that Elisha would have been traveling was a need for food. And so she now was observed this so-called prophet going by, and she felt like that it would be something that God would have her to do in the fact that she would offer him food. And so no doubt she conversed with her husband and said, let's do our part. Let's try to constrain him. Let's bring him in and offer him some food, some bread to eat. And we find that he would take her up on that. And then once that he realized and that she was someone who wanted to provide for him, and him being a very spiritual-minded man himself, a servant of God, then he would go by her house, and she would prepare him food whenever he would be passing by that way. That's the story starts out that way in verse 8, which reveals to us that she was a woman who believed in God, who was observant to what was going on around her, and she was looking for opportunities to be used by God to give. Can I tell you that God measures greatness by a person's desire to be a giver? I don't think if you study the scriptures, you'll find it's not the amount that you're able to give or what your money is that you're contributing to whatever, but it's a willingness to look to God and say, Lord, I want to give. The Bible teaches us that good things happen to those who give. You study the Bible, you'll find it. One of my favorite verses, and just go ahead and look there with me, to Luke in chapter 6. In Luke in chapter 6, concerning this idea of just being a giving person, the Bible records in Luke in chapter 6 and verse 38, as Jesus here is teaching, he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Good things happen to those who learn to give. A verse that most are very familiar with is found in Acts in chapter 20. Acts in chapter 20 and verse 35. We find here the Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And this is a very important part of this verse. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. As Paul is presenting this, he says you have to remember what Jesus taught. You have to remember what God has given to us as far as a lifestyle, as far as how we ought to live our lives. He's instructed us in how to live our lives. Jesus lived a life as an example to us to follow after. And so Paul is his writing here to the church, and he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember, these are the very words that Jesus presented. This was God who was walking on this planet earth in man's flesh. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed means there are blessings associated with a mindset of giving. Especially when we give unto the Lord in Jesus' name. Mark in chapter 10, I'm just laying the foundation here for you. Mark in chapter 10, this is what Jesus taught. This is what the Bible reveals to us concerning this mentality, concerning this heart of an individual who wants to be a giving person, who wants to give. In Mark in chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus teaching again the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water, shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Good things happen to those who give. He reveals here, if you give just a cup of water, I mean something that anyone would have access to. Just looking to, that's all I have, and I find somebody, all I have to do is give water to somebody. And I look to someone, I find somebody that is in thirst. What a blessing it is to that individual to know that even though it's nothing but a cup of water, I found somebody who is in need of water, who is thirsting, and I can be used by God to say, here, in Jesus' name, would you just receive this water? I want to give to you. I want to encourage you. I want to be a giver. How much more? He says this about a cup of water. How much more would it be to somebody who would say, let me buy you a pair of shoes? You see, maybe one of these bus children coming in that doesn't have much, and they don't have any shoes. And you go and say, you know, I just want to be a blessing. Can I just buy you a pair of shoes? Can I buy you a coat? Because it's cold outside, and I just noticed that you don't have a coat, and it's winter outside. And can I be used by God just to buy you a coat? You find a little child that has no way to get to church and has no one around them to tell them about the love of God and the understanding that the reality that God loves them. And you understand that child needs to know that. And you just go to that child and you get permission and you say, can I just give you a ride to church? Find somebody that has a need, and these children all around this area and all around the world that need the Lord, and they need to understand that there is a God in heaven and there is a creator God who will be with them, who can sustain them throughout their entire lives. And you know that, and they don't know that, and they're seeking, and you are just that one that go to them and say, Can I give to you? Can I give to you something I know you need? Can I just give you a ride to church? Oh, you realize that there we live in a world where people are dying and going to hell. And you say, I just want to meet a need that somebody has. And you go knocking on a door and you say, can I give you God's simple plan of salvation? Would you allow me just to give you something that you have need of, whether it's a cup of water, whether it's a pair of shoes, whether it's a winter coat, or whether, praise the Lord, what everyone needs to understand the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ and God's plan, not the church's plan, not humanity's plan, but an almighty God's plan on what you must do in order to have the confidence and the assurance of everlasting eternal life. Where does it begin? It begins in the heart of an individual, says, I just want to be a giver. All can give something to help meet a need of someone. There's someone that you have contact with. There's someone around you, possibly a lot of someones, that God wants to work through you in your life to meet a need. And all we have to do is be a willing vessel and say, God, use me to meet a need. One of the blessings of ministry, one of the things that I've experienced for some 35 years now, is being able to be used by God to help people. I'm so thankful that God placed within me a heart to help people. I've been running from God in some of my teenage years. I experienced the lifestyle that a lot of worldly people want to experience, and that is living for self, not caring about anybody else, but just looking to take care of my need and do what I want to do and just take advantage of whatever I need to take advantage of to get to where I want to go. And can I tell you, I've experienced that lifestyle, and I've experienced a lifestyle for now some 35 years of saying, God, use me to be a blessing to somebody. Amen. And there's no comparison.
Yes, amen.
Concerning the joy.
Yes.
And the peace of mind that giving brings. This woman, the Bible says, this great woman of Shunem, the first thing that stands out about her, she was just looking around to find somebody that she could be a blessing to. Change the lifestyle. It'll change your peace and joy. Good things happen to those who just have a desire to say, God, use me. Use me to help somebody else. To help meet a need. Go back with me to this, because this great woman of Shunem, no doubt that was part of her character. That, as we study this whole story, we know that was who she was, that she found a blessing in being a giver. You've heard me say this often, but I have to repeat it. The most important thing for the poorest person in this church to learn to do is to be a giver. And when you understand, you might not have any finances, you might not have much at all, but there is something that if you ask God to use you for, He can work through you to be a giver to someone in need. Most important thing for us to learn is to be a giver. God, use me. If you go back, we find this woman in verse 9. She was spiritually minded. She understood what this life was all about. When you understand that there is a creator God, and after this life, there is a heaven and there is a place of hell. And there's a wrong way to live and a right way to live. When you understand these things and you have this mindset, can I tell you, then you can be used by God as you have a desire to give. In verse 9, the Bible says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold, I now perceive." Perception. That's different than a mother's intuition. I don't know where all that fits in, but I think that she had this spiritual perception because she was perceiving something that God would have revealed to her. And God will reveal to His Spirit, will bear witness with our spirit if we're looking to God and saying, God, here am I, use me. After having several opportunities to observe Elisha, she was comfortable, first of all, just giving him some bread to eat. Felt like that would be something that she could offer him, not knowing what kind of prophet he was. But this was a man in need of food. Praise the Lord. If we have the ability to give people food, then we need to provide some food for those that need food. But once she is observing what has taken place here, she realizes this is not just any ordinary prophet. She perceived that this is an holy man of God. That's what the Bible says. Once he started coming around, she started observing him and just possibly even talking to him somewhat of a little bit. She understands that this man is just, he's not just any prophet. This is a holy man of God. She was able to recognize the hand of God upon him. Spiritual perception. She knows God, you can see God. When you know God, you know what to look for. When you know the Word of God, you can understand what is righteous and what is unrighteous. When you know the Word of God, you can understand what you need to turn away from and what you need to be drawn to. Spiritual perception comes by knowing God, and knowing God comes today by knowing His Word. And when you know His Word, you know God, and you know what God would have you to do and what He would have you to stay away from. And so her perception, she was spiritually minded and she had spiritual perception and she knew that she would be giving to support God's work. Spiritual perception is very, very important in giving. Some think that they're giving and yet you're actually undermining what God is doing. You're giving to support somebody in their sin. God is not supporting that individual in their sin. God is possibly taking them down to get them to look up. And you're wasting your substance because you are wanting to give, but you're not giving with spiritual understanding, spiritual perception. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look there with me. Spiritual perception is very important in how we give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 5. Concerning giving to missions, concerning giving to support missions work, he says here, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Wanting to have spiritual perception here. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not what he wants me to do, or not what she wants me to do, or not what they want me to do. Lord, I want to be used as an instrument in your hand. Spiritual perception. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by, once she understood, this is the will of God. By the will of God. She was spiritually minded. It's a blessing to want to become a giver. I think there's a crossroads in our lives. You're either going to look to be a giver, or you're going to live your life looking to receive or take from others. Crossroad. If you're looking to be someone that's always taking, always looking to do, to get what you want, that's going to take you in a totally different direction, away from God. But when you understand that there is a God and you want to be used by God and you want to, first of all, become someone that God can work through to be able to be used, that'll take you in the right direction. Right. Now that you're going in that right direction, can I tell you that there's still battles to be fought? Satan is still very much aware of where you're at. And he wants, if he can't get you doing wrong in the flesh, by going the direction of the flesh, he'll try to get you doing good in the flesh. And the Bible says we cannot please God in the flesh. So here I want to be a giver. That's a blessing there. What a blessing. You've already made that turn and you're going in a right direction. But now you have to be spiritually minded in how you are used to be able to support and to meet needs of individuals. Because Satan would love to take the money that God wants you to be used and your talents and everything else about our lives, whatever it is that God wants to work through you to be a blessing and a help to someone else. He would love to take that and dismiss it. Make it useless. And the way that I'm going to get the most out of it is to look to God and say, God, I want to use it the way you want me to use it. I want to give it to you. And as you give me your direction, I'll be used to give it to whoever you want me to give it to. Spiritual perception. As I said before, Satan is robbing a lot of Christians of their time, talent, and tithe. By using them in a good manner, but actually working opposite God. You're not God. You can't sustain anyone indefinitely, and you can't change anybody's life, but God can. And if somebody is looking to God for the help that God can meet, then that's where you come in. Because God can work through you as an extension to be able to give as unto the Lord. Amen. To work together with God for a purpose, for God's purpose. She was spiritually minded. First started out giving food, and then after she realized that this is a holy man of God, she understood that there is more that we can do. God, I believe that you would have us to do more, because by supporting this holy man of God and supporting this work that you have got him here on this earth to accomplish, now we can give more to help him. And as we help him, it is helping to further your cause on this earth. Look back with me. She perceived. Spiritual perception. And then she was willing to give simply for the joy that giving brings and not for compensation. She was not giving to Elisha so that she could make requests of Elisha. She was not giving to God and to Elisha so that he would be able to give her something in return. That was not her motive. Her motive was simply giving for the joy that giving brings. Look at verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Just want to be a help to the man of God. Want to be a help so that we can get behind and support the work that is being done through Elisha. Well, Elisha, being a man of God, was a giver himself. And he said, what a blessing this woman has been to us. Surely God would use us to be a blessing to her. Amen? Elisha did not think that she was doing it to get recompense for what she was doing. But at the same time, he said, I want to be a blessing. That's why I'm in the ministry. That's why I'm a prophet of God. I want to help people to know God. And so he calls Gehazi and says, find something that she needs. First of all, she calls her, has him call her. If you look there in verse 13. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What dost thou be spoken up for to the king? Elisha had connections to the authority. He said, maybe I can just put a good word. That maybe you need something like this for some of your endeavors. Or maybe you have somebody that you're afraid of. Maybe somebody's been hindering you and you're needing some protection. Wouldst thou be spoken up for the king or to the captain of the host? I can speak to him. He can put guards outside your house and he can keep you from any bandits. He can rescue you from anybody that's coming against you. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. I didn't do it to be recompensed. I'm very content. I've learned to be content with what God has given to me. Amen. I'm rejoicing. And the reason I gave to you, Elisha, was just simply for the joy that I received in giving. Amen. Can I tell you that giving pleases God? And as we give for the joy of knowing that you're pleasing God, it does bring joy into our hearts. Amen. I understand what God's will is for my life. I'm perceptive. I'm spiritual. I have spiritual perception. And now I know what God has provided for me. And it might not be much, but I know it's somebody has need of it. And I am worth looking to say, God, give to me so that I can give to others. And I start doing that. And as I start becoming a giver and I give with spiritual perception, there is this joy of knowing that I'm pleasing God. And she said, Elisha, I am very content. I have learned to be content. And I have the joy in knowing that I'm giving it to the Lord to be able to help you in some minute way. Whatever it might be. I don't need anything. I dwell among my own people. We take care of each other. We're fine. Don't need the king. Don't need the officers of the guard. We're fine. The opposite of that. It's found in Luke in chapter 18. Look there with me. And I trust this is not where anyone here finds themselves. In Luke chapter 18, we find Jesus giving us the story of the rich young ruler. He wanted what Jesus had to offer. Didn't know what it was going to cost him. And when Jesus presented what he wanted him to do in order to have this joy of the Lord, he wasn't willing to give it. In Luke chapter 18, I'm sorry, let me get over there myself. Not in Matthew, Luke. Luke 18, verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Now, I don't believe he would have had to have done all that, but he had to be willing to give whatever God would ask him to give. And when he heard this, look right here. This is what I want you to see. He didn't have joy. Didn't have peace. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Sorrow is associated with not willing to do what God wanted him to do. He had this world's goods. He continued to possibly go in a different direction, just continued to work on building bigger barns to store more of what he had in this world. That didn't bring joy. That didn't bring happiness. He could have had the joy of the Lord if he'd be willing to say, God, whatever you'd have me to do. She was willing to give simply for the joy that giving brings, knowing that she was pleasing God. And the last thing, very brief, go back with me. After all that, she was blessed by God. Elisha said, I want to be a blessing to her. Gehazi, there has to be something. And he said, well, she doesn't have any children. She's never been a mother. Verse 15, and he called her, and when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, I've already given up on that hope. She said, no, I've learned to be content without having children. Not that I didn't want them. Not that it's a desire in my heart to have them. But I've already given up on that. How did you know? That was something that's inside of me that I had to learn to give up. Realize I wasn't going to have. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie unto thine handmaid. Don't put that out there if it's not possible. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Can I tell you this morning that Elisha couldn't give life? Elisha couldn't give her a child. But God could. God knows how to bless. He knows our inward needs, and he knows our heart's desires. You might have had something inside of you that you've already dismissed, whatever it might be, I don't know. But can I tell you that God knows you better than you know yourself? And God knows how to bring peace and joy into our lives. In closing, Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Verse 3. This is what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord and do good. What is good? Whatever God wants you to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look to me and just do what I ask you to do, and I'm going to take care of your need. I'll feed you. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I mean, get excited about being used by God. Get excited about opportunities that God brings into your life to be a blessing to someone else. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God knows your need and he knows your desires. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God's blessings could be waiting on our desire and willingness to say, Lord, here am I. Here's everything that you've given to me. This is all that I have, all that I possess on this in this world. Here am I. Use me. Use me. Be a giver. Look to God. And look to be a blessing. Learn to be a giver. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. How God measures greatness. And this truly was a great woman of Shunem. Here am I. Use me. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. We thank you for how you've given so much to us. We can never outgive you. And I pray, God, that everyone here today would understand this biblical principle and they would submit to whatever your will is for their lives. Help each one of us to experience the joy of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.